Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And what a lovely morning it is. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 111, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The call to prayer comes from Psalm 99. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Let us pray. Almighty God, brighter than the morning sun, and more dazzling than the canvas of the night is your glory. We come before you this new day, and we praise you, for you are holy and perfect in power and in love. Gracious God, you reveal your presence in radiant glory and in gentle whispers, on mountain tops and in the deep valleys. We see your beauty and majesty in creation. And in Jesus Christ, your only Son, the source of light and life. In awe and wonder, we, your children, bow before you, the one who is both merciful and mighty. Lord God, three in one, in Jesus Christ you have come to us, and through him you continue your saving work. We praise you for your goodness to us, and we marvel that though you are Lord and God of all, the one before whom even the angels cover their faces, yet you know each one of us, and you love us with a love that defies description. Almighty God, confronted by your holiness and the light of your radiance, we are moved to confess that we have not loved you as we should have. We have been unkind in what we have said and in what we have failed to say, in what we have done and in what we have failed to do. We cling to anger and resentment, and we are more concerned with our way than your way. Gracious God, forgive us and transform us until our faces display the likeness of Christ. And grant that walking in the light, we may lead others to you and so cause your name to be glorified in all the earth. These things we humbly ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and together as the one people, we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A few notices to draw to your attention, friends. But firstly, a big word of thanks to everyone who supported the soup and sandwich lunches throughout the winter. They were very well supported. So thank you to everyone who came along, and thank you to those who prepared and served the lunches, and to those who worked so hard in the kitchen. Thanks also to those who set up the hall and then cleared away tables and chairs after the lunches. And a very special word of thanks to the boys from our Boys Brigade Company who came along and were such a great help. They truly are a credit to their families and to the company. As you know, we're going to have an Easter holiday club in April, and a meeting in connection with the holiday club will be held in Park Church on Tuesday at 7:30. So that's Tuesday, 7:30, a meeting in connection with the holiday club at Park Church. This Wednesday will be Ash Wednesday, hard to believe, isn't it? And to mark that, there'll be a service in the Church of the Holy Rood at 7:00, a reflective service during which the sacrament of Holy Communion will be celebrated. The craft group will meet on Thursday at 2:00 in the parish halls. Friday is the World Day of Prayer, and there'll be a service in the Allen Church in Bannockburn at 7:00. We wish Tony well for the organathon that takes place this coming Saturday. And Tony, once again, thanks everyone for their support. Holy Communion will be celebrated during the service next Sunday morning, and then next Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, there'll be a contemplative service, a short service in the McMichael Chapel here at the church. All will be welcome. There is a box now for used stamps out in the vestibule, and these will be forwarded to the British Heart Foundation. And finally, there are spaces on the Bible reading rota. If you'd like to read the lesson on a Sunday, please put your name against the Sunday of your choice. Thank you. I wonder if any of you know the song, Our God is an Awesome God. Do any of you know that song? It's a great song altogether. We'll need to sing it one day. But it's a song that we sometimes sing with the senior primary school children when they come along to events that we run at Christmas and Easter and Pentecost. Our God is an awesome God. That is true, but sometimes we forget it. One day, Moses went up a mountain, and when he was on top of the mountain, he saw a fire and smoke, and he heard a voice. It was the voice of God. And God spoke to Moses and gave him the Ten Commandments. Many, many hundreds of years later, Peter, James, and John joined Jesus and climbed a mountain. And something amazing happened on top of that mountain. Jesus' appearance changed. His face shone brightly, and his clothes were dazzling white. It lasted only for a moment, but it enabled the three disciples to see and to know there and then that Jesus really was and is the Son of God. And these three disciples were changed by what they witnessed. And as they spoke about it in the days and weeks and the months and years that followed, many came to believe because of their testimony. We too can have our mountaintop experiences. Times when we encounter our God who truly is awesome. And when we know that joy and peace that Jesus alone can give. We are called to let that joy and peace be evident in our lives. Lives that tell the story of Jesus' life, and lives that shine brightly so that all will know our God truly is an awesome God. Amen. Lord, the light of your love is shining. Hymn 448.
Thank you. The first lesson is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 to 18, and chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It can be found in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible, page 159. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. With such a hope as this, we speak out boldly. It is not for us to do as Moses did. He put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at the end of what was fading away. In any case, their minds had become closed, for that same veil is there to this very day when the lesson is read from the Old Covenant. And it is never lifted, because only in Christ is it taken away. Indeed, to this very day, every time the law of Moses is read, a veil lies over the mind of the hearer. But as Scripture says, whenever he turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord of whom this passage speaks is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And because for us there is no veil over the face, we all see as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And we are being transformed into the likeness with ever-increasing glory through the power of the Lord, who is the Spirit. Since God, in his mercy, has given us this ministry, we never lose heart. We have renounced the deeds that people hide for very shame. We do not practice cunning or distort the word of God. It is by declaring the truth openly that we recommend ourselves to the conscience of our fellow men in the sight of God. And the second lesson is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. It can be found in the Pew Bible at page 59. That's St. Luke, chapter 9, beginning at verse 28. About a week after this, he took Peter, John, and James and went up a mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there were two men talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, the destiny he was to fulfill in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but when they awoke, they saw his glory and the two men who stood beside him. As these two were moving away from Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good that we are here. Shall we make three shelters, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah?" But he spoke without knowing what he was saying. As he spoke, there came a cloud which cast its shadow over them. They were afraid as they entered the cloud, and from it a voice spoke. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was seen to be alone. The disciples kept silence and did not at that time say a word to anyone of what they had heard. Amen.
Thank you very much, Joyce. Our next hymn ties in very well with the gospel reading today, and indeed the theme of the service, but I think it will be a new hymn for many of you, and for that reason, Tony will kindly give a full introduction. That's hymn 353, Bright the Cloud and Bright the Glory. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, clothed in light upon the mountain, your glory gives us hope and transforms our outlook. With Peter, John, and James, we look at you and we know who you are. You are God's chosen one. Gracious God, at this anxious time, we entrust to you the nations of the earth and all who govern. Grant to leaders everywhere discernment and compassion, wisdom and integrity, humility and respect for others. And may that be particularly the case in the White House and with President Trump and his Vice President. Gracious God, we pray for all caught up in the horror of war in Ukraine and Russia, in Gaza, the West Bank and Israel, in Sudan and Yemen. O God, bless this world with peace. Lord Jesus, transformed upon the mountain top, you did not remain there. On coming down, you healed a boy who was sick. Bless with your presence those in need of your healing touch today. Be with those who are worn down by illness or infirmity, or with caring for a loved one. And comfort all who mourn. We pray particularly for the families and friends of Bob Robertson and Jack Wardrop. Transforming God, for moments when we know you are close to us, for times when we glimpse your glory and are touched by the divine, we praise you. May such experiences encourage us to live as citizens of your kingdom. And may we, your people, boldly continue your work on earth, facing all that is to come, in the knowledge we are not alone, that you are with us. So let us take to heart your word. Be strengthened by our experience of you and who you are. And may we go forth in the power of the Lord. In his precious name, we ask these things. Amen. Be still, for the presence of the Lord. A wonderful, wonderful hymn written by David J. Evans. Hymn 189.
Thank you.
Jesus and three disciples, Peter, John, and James, went up a mountain to pray. That was not in itself an unusual thing to happen. For time and time again, Jesus would go off somewhere quiet, somewhere away from the crowds, somewhere he could speak to God in the stillness. But what happened on this particular occasion was definitely unusual. Something special and out of the ordinary happened. And it was an experience that the three disciples would remember for the rest of their days. Luke tells us that while Jesus prayed, the disciples fell asleep. See how very human they were. But don't be getting any ideas. The disciples slept. But Jesus continued in prayer. And no doubt he was preparing himself for what was to come, for what lay ahead, the journey to Jerusalem and then beyond to the cross. And we're told that it was while he prayed that something happened. His appearance changed and even his clothes began to glow. And at this point, the disciples awoke. And not only did they see Jesus in this transformed state, they saw two others. They saw Moses, the lawgiver, and they saw Elijah, the prophet. What must the disciples have thought? They must have wondered, are we still asleep? Are we dreaming? What on earth is happening here? But then Peter spoke. And as he did so, a cloud cast its shadow over them, and a voice was heard. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And just as quickly as it all happened, the cloud lifted, the moment passed, the sun shone again, and they were back in the ordinary. Jesus was there alone, and they could see the valley down below, the valley to which they must return. But what they had witnessed, the experience that they had had, remained with them. And what is more, it shaped them and it strengthened them, and in time it became part of their testimony, part of their witness to who Christ really was and is. Sometime later, Peter put it like this: we have been eyewitnesses of our Lord's majesty. We've seen it with our own eyes. We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were there with Jesus on the holy mountain. You will do well, said Peter, to be attentive to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place. I find it hard to believe that Wednesday will be the first day of Lent. Goodness me, can you believe that? It is a season when we consider the temptations that can assail us. It is a season when we contemplate the suffering of Christ. And it is the season when we gaze upon the good and bad, not only in the world, but in our hearts. If the truth be told, it can be a very heavy season, but we are helped when we do what Peter asks us to do, when we remember what he and John and James witnessed and experienced on that mountaintop. I think if we were to go outside the church and ask people, what do you think about Jesus? I think a lot of people would say, a good man. A man who did amazing and wonderful things. A man worth following. The world would be better if there were more people like Jesus. And all that is true. But he is so much more. More than a good man. More than an example to follow. He is none other than the Son of God. He is the chosen one. He is the one who alone leads us into the very presence of God himself. And he is the one who gives us peace and joy and hope. And don't we need that today? Doesn't our world need it? How sad I was when I watched the television late on Friday night and saw what happened in the Oval Office. That is worrying. But we mustn't lose hope. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the chosen one. And it is him that we are called to listen to. But the question is, do we? The other day I was sitting at my desk in the manse and the phone rang and I answered it. And the person on the other end, not a member or parishioner, I hasten to add, asked me a question. But instead of giving me time to answer, he continued to talk and talk and talk and talk, and eventually I had the phone out there and I just continued what I was doing until he finished and said bye. I hope he felt the better of it. He didn't give me a chance to answer his question. He didn't take time to listen. I wonder, might we be like that at times with Jesus? We get so caught up in our daily routines that we fail to see the glory that is evident all around us. We have so many things to do and places to be that we have no time to pause and be still. And amidst the busyness and in the hurry, we lose track of where we are going and whose we are and what has been promised to us, those who are attentive to Jesus. the one transformed on the mountaintop, yet ever present with us through the Holy Spirit. Listen to him. I appreciate that not everyone is comfortable with silence. Some people are afraid of it and they find it threatening. And some people find that silence can make them think of things they would rather not think about. And I get that. But it is often in the silence that we can best hear God. That still, small voice. It's often in the silence that we experience that which is holy. It is often in the silence that we touch and taste things unseen. And it is often through moments of silence that we can, as St. Paul wrote to the people of Corinth, be transformed more and more and more into the likeness of Christ himself. The experience of Peter, John and James was unique for sure. There's no getting away from that. But let me ask, have you had an experience where you felt that God was particularly close to you? Have you had times when you knew a strength that quite simply wasn't your own? Have you experienced that peace of which Jesus spoke? That peace that passes all understanding. I like walking. To be honest, I prefer to walk on my own, though occasionally I go for a walk with friends. You'll be glad to know I've got some friends. But I think I drive them crazy, because when out walking, I continually stop and I point out things to them. Look, the first appearance of snowdrops. Look, the daffodils are beginning to bloom. Oh, look at that bird resting in the branch, chirping away. And they look at me. And what about the glow in the sky as the sun begins to set? My friends, such things are for me glimpses of glory, gifts from God that speak of the one who is the source of all life. And what of those other times and places and people? I've been visiting Strathcarn Hospice in recent days, and I remember my first visit there when I was a student at Glasgow. I never fail to be touched by the love and the care shown by those who work there, not only to the patients but also to their families. And what of the ambience? It is an oasis of peace and tranquility. So much so that amidst the sickness and the sadness, there is that feeling that one is in a place of transformation. A place where fear gives way to a quiet acceptance. And the storm is stilled. And there is a great calm. For me, it is a place where God is. But you can't wait there. And nor can you spend all your time gazing at the beauty that surrounds us. because, like Peter and John and James, we have to leave that mountaintop and return to our daily lives with all that that entails. But surely we do so transformed, changed, inspired by what we have seen and strengthened for all that lies before us. Such mountaintop experiences, where we touch the divine, enable us to live in a very human and broken world. A world in which we are to continue the work that God has given us to do. And what is that work? It is to radiate His glory in our lives. It is to be mirror images of Jesus Christ. It is to transform the communities in which we live until that day when the poor are fed, justice prevails, the light outshines the dark, love triumphs over hatred, sorrow gives way to joy. And to quote the late George MacLeod, the whole earth shall cry glory. Thanks be to God. Let us take a moment to reflect on God's glory and His transforming power. Amen. Our closing hymn, hymn 127, O Worship the King, All Glorious Above. as a people transformed by God's amazing grace. Love and care for one another in Christ's name. And may the mercy of God uphold you, the compassion of Jesus guide you, and the wisdom and strength of the Holy Spirit sustain you, now and forevermore.